Welcome to Torah Timach Hanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shelby Friedman, and today we'll be studying Sefer Yeshayahu Perek Samach Hei, the 65th Perek. We're nearly at the end of Yeshayahu. Tomorrow's the final Perek. And there's something really exciting about actually coming the whole way. As we said right at the beginning, 65 Prakim ago, this book really separates the boys from the men in the Nach Yomi cycle, in that it's a difficult and tedious thing to get through. And at the same time, I hope you felt uplifted and inspired by it. And there's something quite sad about finishing up Yeshayahu. If you've been doing this really Yomi style and doing it daily, then for over 2 months, Yeshayahu has accompanied you through whatever you've been through in the last 2 months. And now we're saying goodbye, and that's quite sad. This perek is a bit longer than what we've had up until now. It is Hashem's reply to the question of the previous perek. If you recall, the last perek ended with us asking Hashem, if you kill off all the tzaddikim, then how on earth are we meant to get close to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Can't you see us? Can't you answer us? We're suffering through this exile. Why are you not there to give us a response? And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give a response. Indeed, it's a thoughtful, powerful, and difficult response for us to internalize and try and understand where we stand in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he answers with the first opening pasuk, which is very, very painful. Hashem says, Nidrashti lelo sha'alu nimtzesi lelo bakshuni. I was there waiting to be sought by people who weren't looking for me. I was available to those who didn't seek me. I offered myself to be found. In fact, Amarti, I said, Hineni, Hineni, I'm here, I'm here. El goy lo kara, to a nation who's not calling out to me, Bishmi, in my name. The Malbim and others say Nidrashti means through the Nevi'im, through the prophets. But either way, what we're hearing is Hashem saying, I'm here for you. I care for you and I've been available for you more than you will ever know, despite the fact that you weren't interested or invested in having a relationship with me. Pasuk Dalet, Perasti yadai kol hayom el am sorer. I spread out my hands, open up, available to a nation who was disloyal to me. Ha'olchim haderech lo tov, who go in a way that's not good, achar machshav aseihem, and pursue their thoughts. The Malbim explains that some people do the wrong thing because they're impulsive, because they're being ridiculous. But here it says, al machshav aseihem, that they're pursuing their thoughts. This wasn't impulsive, this was a planned and cunning rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next couple of psukim talk about all the different averas that the people are doing in their betrayal of Hashem. Hashem is constantly screaming out, Hineni, Hineni, I'm right here. He says, Ha'am ha'machisim oti al panai tamid. There are people who provoke me always. Zovchim beganot u'makadrim al halaveinim. They offer their sacrifices in gardens. The Malbim explains that the place where these people are offering their korbanos, in their gardens and on their rocks or on their bricks, are private places. They're doing this in a way that they don't want people to notice or see them, and therefore they worship idols in private. It says the Malbim, there is no greater slap in the face to Hashem, to be machis Hashem al panai, to his face, than doing an avera in private. This is a powerful thing to think about in this Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time, because doing an aver in private means that you are aware of the fact that the only person who can, the only being that can see you is Hashem, and he's the only one that counts. Lahavdil, it's like cheating on a test, and you don't want your friends or your classmates to see that you're cheating. So instead, you go right up to the teacher's desk and you slap your paper on the teacher's table and you sit and you cheat for the test. That's machisim osi al panai tamid. How hypocritical that we care more about what our peers think than about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's the one who sees us when we're in private. And these sinners who Hashem is waiting for their prayers, look what they say to each other. Pasuk Hei says, Ha'omrim krav elecha. They say to each other, you go stand by yourself. Al tigashbi, don't come close to me. Ki kadashticha, because I am holier than you. Ele ashan ba'api, esh yokedes kol hayom. This is smoke inside of my nose that burns all day. In other words, this infuriates HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like smoke in Hashem's face. What are the sinners doing? They're sending away other people and pretending that they're holier than them. The Malbim says, this is the hypocrisy that we're seeing. Again, they're holier than thou superficially, and they're so from on the outside that they won't be around people who they believe are beneath them. But inside, they're rotten, and they're corrupt, and they're insincere in their relationship to Hashem. Or maybe the way the other Mefarshim read it, this is simply a reversal of values, that people look at people who are indeed righteous, and they say, we don't want anything to do with you. Stay away from us. We're doing just fine on our own. But Hashem says, you should know for all of these averas that you're doing, hen k'tuva lefanai, they're written before me. Lo echeshe, I will not be silent. Ki ilip shilamti v'shilamti al chekam. I will make them pay, and I'll make them pay double. And the Mefarshim said, I'll pay for them, and I'll pay for the sins of their forefathers as well. And we're reminded of the way that the last parak ended, where we asked Hashem, techeshe, will you be silent? And here Hashem answers, and he says, lo echeshe, I will not be silent. But he's not just saying, I won't be silent to answer your tefillahs for salvation. I cannot be silent in answer to your blatant disrespect for me and my mitzvahs. And that's the reality with Hashem. Hashem says, I love you more than you'll ever understand. I'm here, I'm listening. And at the same time, yes, there are consequences for the misbehavior of the people. But Hashem gives hope. As we recall, Yeshayahu is kulo nechimte. The whole sefer is nechama. Look at this nechama here. It's so beautiful. Pasuk Ches tells us, Ko omar Hashem, thus says Hashem, Kasher yimatze hatirosh be'eshkol. If you look at a bunch of grapes, and the grapes are rather old, or they're thorny, but there's tirosh, there's a couple of beautiful new grapes inside that bundle. Va'amar, you'll say of the bundle, Al tashchisehu, don't destroy the whole thing, ki bracha bo, because there is a bracha inside of it. So too I will do for my servant. I will not destroy everything. Rashi says this is a reference to Noach. Hashem says, remember, yes, if you sin, there will be consequences. But even if there's one tzaddik, I will save that tzaddik. Unlike what you were saying in the last parak, where you thought I wiped out the tzaddikim, so that because you didn't have the merit to have tzaddikim around, here I must tell you, I don't do that. In fact, I save the tzaddikim no matter what. They are the ones who will outlive everybody else. And that's going to be the focus of the next piece of this perek, is the ultimate reward for tzaddikim, which will far exceed anything you can possibly imagine. Hashem says, V'hotzesi miYaakov zera umiYehuda yoresh harai. I will bring forth from Yaakov seed, and from Yehuda those who will inherit my mountains. And again, Yaakov being the 10 tribes, Yehuda being the nation of Yehuda. Hashem says, I will find the gems in the weeds and in the sand and in the soil, and I'll pick them out, and they will be the ones who will inherit the future times, the time of Mashiach. V'yirshuha b'chirai v'avada yishkenu shama. My chosen ones will inherit this mountain, being Yerushalayim, and they will dwell there. Hashem promises, V'hayu ha-sharon l'nevetzon. The Sharon will become a beautiful place to pasture flock. V'emek Achor l'revetz bakar. And the valley of Achor will be a place where cattle lie down. And the Barbanel points out, the word Achor comes from the word ugly. An ugly place will become a beautiful green vista. La'ami asher drashuni, for my people who seek me. I'm available, I'm here, hineni, hineni. If only you seek me, you will inherit all of this bracha, all of this good. But, pasuk yud alef, va'atem ozve Hashem, ha'shechechim es har kodshi. But those of you who leave Hashem and who forget my holy mountain, ha'orchim legad shulchan, who set a table for the constellation or the idol, Gad, hamemleim lemani mimasach, and who pour mixed wine for the idol worship of Mani. And the Malbim points out that the people who are going to receive this punishment, in addition to worshipping idols, are people who are shechechim es har kodshi. They forget Yerushalayim. The Abarbanel extends this further, and he says, there are people who don't daven for the Chorban. Who is not going to inherit and merit to see Yerushalayim in the future? Those who aren't broken up and devastated by its destruction. And this is another intrinsic part of Yeshayahu that we keep talking about. Galus has to be experienced to get to Geula. We can't skip over Galus. We can't miss out on Galus. We can't skip Tisha B'Av. We need Tisha B'Av. We need to sit and cry and mourn, not just feel hope. and inspiration. Tisha B'Av is not an inspirational day. It's a sad, sad day. But we get up the next day and we say, oh my gosh, I can't wait for Elul when I get to build something. Hashem says, first we have to be people who remember Hashem's mountain, who can cry for Yerushalayim. Because if we don't, then we're like idol worshippers. And then Pasuk Yud Bey says, Umanisi eschem lacherev, I will destine you for the sword. And the Ibn Ezra points out that there's this play on words because the idol, the god that's spoken about in the Pasuk before is Mani. And yeah, Manite means I will count you. So it's just playing with the words for poetic reasons. And V'kulchem letevach tichra'u, and all of you will be kneeled down to be slaughtered. Ya'an karati v'lo anitem, because I called and you didn't answer. Dibarti v'lo shamatem, I spoke and you didn't hear. V'tasu hara be'enai, you did that which was bad in my eyes. We went from lo tov in Pasuk Bey to right here is saying to doing ra. U'bashar lo chatfatzti bichartem, and you chose that which I don't want you to do. And here we're going to fine-tune HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer to the question the previous perek. In the previous perek, we asked Hashem, how could it be that the tzaddikim die and we have no one to daven for us? Why aren't you there? And Hashem says, number one, oh boy, am I there. I am here always. I'm screaming out for you to call out to me. But you sinned, and I cannot be silent for the averas that you've done, and I need to punish, and there will be a terrible, terrible punishment for those who ignore me and those who aren't crying for the Beis HaMikdash. And you should know, Hashem says, that the tzaddikim and the rasha'im get different treatment. Not how you think, that the tzaddikim are all just dead, but rather exactly the opposite. The tzaddikim are going to inherit life in the world to come. They're going to get the best of the best in the world to come, and the rasha'im won't. And that's going to be the next piece or the next focus. Pasuk Yud Gimel tells us, Lachen ko'omar Hashem Elokim, thus says Hashem, Hine avadai yochelu va'atem tiravu, my servants will eat and you sinners will be hungry. You people who are screaming out, Hashem, where are you? But you're not willing to have an authentic relationship with me. You will be hungry. Hine avadai yishtu va'atem titzma'u, my servants will drink and you will be thirsty. Hine avadai yismachu va'atem tevoshu, my servants will be happy and you will be ashamed. Psukim Tesvav and Tesayin tell us that the treatment of tzaddikim and rasha'im also get expressed in the actual names. Pasuk Tesvav tells us, V'hinachtem shimchem l'shvu'a l'bechirai, v'he'imitcha Hashem Elokim. Your name is going to be left behind as a promise for my chosen ones, as a promise that's used to describe death. V'le'avadav yikare shem acher, and I will call my servants a different name. We're going to use the hyperbolic description of pain and suffering will be the name of the people who died and who suffered. We'll say, he will die like, or he will end like, right? That's going to be the most extreme version of miserable reality that you can pursue. But, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Asher hamisbarech ba'aretz, yisbarech ba'elokei amen. But whoever blesses himself, and the way Rashi reads this is in future times, anyone who has bracha in the world will understand their bracha in relation to elokei amen, the God of mu'ed emunah, faithfulness, the true God. The God who makes dreams come true. As we keep saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a perfect track record. And one day, we're going to describe good by definition or by terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's never-ending faithfulness. V'hanishba ba'aretz yishaba be'elokei amen. And anyone who's got any bracha, it will be channeled through or described in terms of elokei amen, the God of thoughtfulness. Ki nishkachu hatzarot harishonot v'chi nisteru me'enai. Because your original suffering is going to be forgotten, compared to the tremendous good that you're going to receive at the end of times. Pasuk Yud Zayin is fascinating. There are a couple of ways of reading it. Let's see. Hashem promises in the most beautiful definition of future times, Hinani bore shamayim chadashim va'eretz chadasha. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. What is the new heaven and earth? Radak says there'll be so much bracha, it's as if the heaven and earth have rejuvenated themselves. The Ibn Ezra actually says the atmosphere is going to be different and it's going to be healthy and people will live healthier lives. The Malbim says something so beautiful. The Malbim says that we know that all physical reality comes by definition from something which is lacking. God is infinitely, endlessly good. And in order to go from the infinite oneness of God to finite reality, we must create lacking. Physical objects deteriorate. They're physical, they're limited. And the new reality in the future times is going to be such that even the material world is going to be endlessly blessed. as if it's spiritual. That's the Shamayim Chadashim Ve'eretz Chadasha. And that leads to the next theme, which is aging. If we're living in a world of Shamayim Chadasha, of new world, in which the material world does not betray us and deteriorate over time, then certainly the aging process is going to be entirely different. That's Pasuk Chaf. Lo yihye misham od ul yamim, v'zaken asher lo yimale es yamav. There'll never be a person who dies young, and elderly people who don't fill their days. Ki hana'ar ben me'a shana yamut. If someone dies at 100 years old, it's going to be considered young. V'hachote ben me'a shana yakulal. And only a sinner who is cursed will die at the age of 100. And the Ibn Ezra points out that what we're going for is a time like before. A time like before with Adam and his generations, where people lived really, really old age. And that's what we're going to return to in this Shamayim Chadashim and Eretz Chadasha. And thus, I'm going to Pasuk before. Pasuk your test tells us, V'galti b'Yerushalayim v'sasti ba'ami. I will rejoice in Yerushalayim and I will celebrate over my people. V'lo yishama ba'od kol bechi v'kol za'aka. And there will no longer be a cry of mourning and a cry of tragedy. And the Abarbanel says, people won't cry for the dead because they're living to such full lives that there will never be a sense of tragic loss of life ever again. And this old age is going to be expressed in Pasuk Chaf Beis in the reality of our agriculture. Because lo yivnu va'acher yeshev, lo yit'u va'acher yochal. Nobody will build something for someone else to live in, or plant and somebody else eats. We know from the Gemara in Tanis about Choni HaMa'agal. Choni, you couldn't understand how people plant plants and only 70 years later, their children or their grandchildren eat the fruit of those plants. Here, or trees. Here, this Pasuk is telling us in the future times, we are going to eat the fruit of the trees that we plant because people are going to live for such old ages. Ki ki me ha'etz yemei ami. Because like the days of a tree will be the days of my people. Just like a tree lives so long, so too people will live so long. And Pasuk Chaf Dalet tells us, V'haya terem yikra'u v'ani e'ene. Before you even call out, I will answer you. Od hei medabrim v'ani eshma. While you're still talking, I will hear. Unlike the beginning of a perek, where Hashem says to the people, I'm waiting for you to daven and you couldn't care less. I'm waiting for you to daven and you're ignoring me. You're a ben sora, you're rebellious children who don't have a relationship with me. Here Hashem says, all you need to do is open your mouth to begin the relationship with me and I'll come to you. Terem yikra'u va'ani e'ene. I'm going to answer you before you even need to call out. And there's a beautiful kliyakar where he says, if Hashem is answering us before we call out, then why do you need the second part of the pasuk, which says, odhe medabrim. As they're speaking, I will answer. And Hashem is essentially telling us, I don't need you to daven, because I know what you're asking for. I know your thoughts, that even before you open your mouth to ask for it, I could answer you. But I also understand that I want you to have a relationship with me. I want to give you a chance to express it, because that's what builds intimacy. That's what makes us close to each other, when we can talk to each other. So, od hei medabrim, I'm going to let you begin to speak. And then, Va'ani eshma, I will hear. And our perek ends in Pasuk Chafei with a Pasuk which is very thematic to Yeshayahu and very familiar to us in Yeshayahu. The concept about how at the end of days there'll be this eternal peace where all the different animals will lie in peace together. And we spoke previously about whether this is meant to be taken literally or not. Zemachlokes, Rambam, Ramban. But let's take a look here. Ze'ev v'tele yir'u ke'echad. A wolf and a lamb will graze together. V'ariyeh kebakar yochal teven. And a lion and cattle will eat straw. V'nachash afar lachmo. And a snake will eat dust as its bread. Lo yera'u v'lo yashchis b'kol har kodshi. There'll be no more destruction on my mountain, Amar Hashem, says Hashem. And there's a beautiful Rashi who explains on a midrashic level how the ariyeh is a reference to Yehuda, and the bakar, the other animals, are a reference to the other tribes who are compared to animals. And they together, yochal teven, will eat straw. And we know that straw is compared to Esav, or Esav is compared to straw. As the Medrash, which Rashi quotes at the beginning of Parashas Vayeshev, tells us, Beit Esav lekash, the house of Esav is like straw. In future times, the ariyeh and the bakar, all of Am Yisrael, will eat our enemies like straw, and they'll manage to destroy them. And that's the answer to the question from the previous perek in a sentence is, Hashem says, I'm here, just call out. Just call out, scream out to me, I'm right here for you. And if you do, well, then you will merit to get all the bracha and the good, maybe not now, maybe not here, but certainly in this new world called Olam Haba, called Yimos HaMashiach, you will get eternal good. Please, just wait for me. Scream out to me. Don't forget Yerushalayim. Don't forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our learning today is sponsored by Refuah Shleima Yonina Sima Bas Daphne Hinda, Jennifer Hayakara Shelanu, Elo Pitzuei Tzahal, Achenu Hayakarim, Betoch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael, Nina V'Chaim Shenka.